Well, hello, everybody. It's really lovely to be back here, so thank you. A prayer. Gracious Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Now, here is a question for you. What images, I wonder, come into your mind when you think about the word obedient? Could you, perhaps, does it take you back to the classroom where you have to put your hand up to answer a question and you're just bursting to shout it out? We have visuals. Or perhaps you're thinking of a puppy, which is waiting on your every command, perhaps in the hope of a treat. Or perhaps you're thinking more about the law of the land. Perhaps you're thinking about abiding the speed limit. Obedience is about acknowledging the will of another and abiding by it. So not doing just what we want at a particular situation or thinking that we know best. And we find that quite difficult sometimes, don't we? Because we may think that we're obedient, but we still like to push the boundaries. After all, I was only doing 33 or 34 in that 30-mile limit, wasn't I? Also, obedience has connotations today that we don't necessarily value, I don't think, in our culture. Subservience, taking away our own independent thought, even denial of self. And if we think about it for a minute, is it a characteristic that we really value? Is it something that we prioritize for ourselves or perhaps for our children? Or do we prefer to think of ourselves as our own person? Someone who knows their own mind, confident, independent. And what about our obedience to God? How do we feel about that? And are those characteristics which are so celebrated in our culture today, are they compatible with obedience to God? Now just hold that question. We'll come back to that. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, just before today's reading, we have that sublime hymn of praise that we heard last week about the self-emptying of Christ. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In his obedience to God the Father, Jesus paid the highest price. He gave his life out of selfless love for us. He placed obedience to God above all things. So what about us? Where do we place it? As individuals and as a church? Because don't forget, Paul was addressing the whole church, the whole body of people in Philippi. And it's a tough question, and one that, thanks be to God, in our peaceful country, we don't have to think about on a daily basis. So let's think about the question slightly differently. How do we rank being obedient alongside, say, being faithful or prayerful or spirit-led or simply loving God? In truth, being obedient to God is about all these things. And Paul is encouraging the early Christians in Philippi to keep on obeying God, just as they did when he, Paul, was there with them, guiding them and instructing them. And the only way to obey God, he tells them, is to keep their eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. He's calling on them and on us to take responsibility for our own spiritual growth and our maturity in Christ. And the phrase he uses is to continue to work out their own salvation. They and we are to continue building on our relationship with God, responding to his open invitation to ever draw us closer to him. The Christian writer and evangelist Rob Bell, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with, he has a wonderful way of thinking about being in relationship with God. He refers to God as a melody, a rhythm, which has been heard over the millennia, a song which is playing around us all the time. And Jesus came so that we may be in tune with that song. And I believe that only when we're truly in harmony with that divine song can we be our true selves, our fullest selves, the people that God can love us into being if only we let him. Just as the Father was overjoyed by the return of his lost son, so there is no situation in which God is not overjoyed by our turning back to him, being received by him, seeking once again to be reunited with him. So to go back to our earlier question, perhaps being obedient to God and being our own person are not so disparate after all. Perhaps it's only in obedience that we can truly find and be ourselves. And as Paul stresses, none of this is in our own strength, but by the power of Christ working in us. For it is God who works in us to will and to act to his good purpose. It's the Spirit of Jesus within us that gives us the energy and the will to obey God, just as Jesus obeyed God. In working out our salvation, Paul isn't denying God's grace. He's saying that salvation is an ongoing process, a journey with Christ which takes effort on our part, effort and commitment, just like any relationship does. So how then are we to be obedient to God? By seeking out Christ's Spirit within us, by listening for it, by spending time listening for it. Peter opened this service tonight with, "Be still and know that I am God." We don't have much stillness in our lives these days. By reading God's word and letting it seep into our being. By learning to recognize his voice, by being patient and praying to God in all things. And the more we do it, the more his word takes root in us, the more his Spirit will fill us and overflow from us. And whilst we need to do this on our own, we also need to do it together, because it's hard to keep on track entirely on our own. Which is why it's so important that we come together on a Sunday like we are now, that we come together in our life groups during the week, that we come together in social media. Because we need to build each other up. We need to support each other. We need to let the faith of the body carry us when our own faith is weak or faltering. And also we need to be encouraged by each other when we see and know that God is at work in our lives. Earlier this week, Wednesday night, I went over to Westcott, which is quite near to where I live, and there was an informal worship gathering there. And it had been a long day, and I was quite tired, and I was really thinking about, I might just not go tonight, I might not go. But I did, I went, and I was so glad I went, because I had some amazing testimonies about how God is transforming people's lives And I felt uplifted by it. It was life-giving. And that's why God wants us to be obedient, because Jesus is the way to life itself. Paul says, we're to fulfill God's good purpose. We're to fulfill God's purpose for good. That's what we're made for, to show the hope and the light of Christ. We're to show a different way of living, a different way of being. So what might that look like in our world today? Well, I suggest it looks like speaking out about practices that don't reflect God's love, challenging hierarchies that neglect the people they're supposed to serve, graciously receiving hospitality as well as giving it, and holding out a hand of friendship to those whom others pass by. And we're to start right here, right now, in our communities. But that's not all. Paul tells us that we're to do this without grumbling or complaining or arguing. Now, that's quite a big ask. Remember the people of Israel in the wilderness? You spent the whole time complaining to God and to Moses, not trusting God to care for them, thinking that they knew best. Well, this time, Paul says, this time, we as God's people are to do it differently. Because we can be very like those early Israelites, can't we? Holding fast to our own opinions, wanting to do things our own way, often with the best of intentions, because we think ours is the best way or the right way. But are we sure? Are we sure there isn't a different way? A way that better reflects God's purpose? A way that better reflects his love and justice? A way that perhaps we haven't seen yet? So perhaps we should all spend a little bit less time talking and doing, and a little bit more time listening to God and to each other. Unity is what Paul is calling for in the Christians of Philippi, going forward as one with God and with each other. Because looking out for the interests of each other, Paul says, is the same as looking out for the interests of Jesus. For Jesus is here with us. He lives in us. His spirit is in us both individually and corporately. So in serving each other, we're serving Jesus. We think about those verses from Matthew 25, which you will know. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. It's interesting that Paul wanted to send Timothy above anyone else to Philippi to help those faithful men and women better understand how to live out the gospel. The theologian Tom Wright invites us to think about what quality it was of Timothy that Paul so admired. It wasn't his great leadership or his great public speaking skills. It's not that he was a great teacher or even outstanding in his holiness and piety. It was that he would show genuine concern for all of them, genuine concern for their welfare. Timothy has learnt through the gospel to put others above himself. That's how he models his obedience to God. Over the summer, Simon, my husband, and I spent some time in Chalkidiki in Thessalonica, which is about 150 kilometres west of Kavala, which is modern-day Philippi. And it was a truly beautiful spot. It was where the pine-clad mountains come down to meet the sea in the shadow of Mount Athos, which is a holy mountain. And my favorite times of day were the early morning and the late evening. And in the early morning, you'd have the first streams of sunlight dancing on the sea, dancing on the blue-gray of the waters. And in the evening, you could look up into the blackness of the sky and see the myriads of stars shining as brightly as jewels. Stars shining in the world. This is Paul's vision for the people of God, for Christ's church, be it in Philippi or Newdigate, where I come from, or here in Reigate. This is his vision for you and for me, for all of us, to be united as one body in Christ and to be as shining lights in a dark and troubled world. This is the call of the gospel, obedience to God. So how will we answer that call today?